This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Zay Flowers goes in motion. Lamar takes the snap. Deep drop. Steps up. Going deep. At the five. At the goal line. Bateman is there. He makes the catch. Oh. Touchdown. Rashad Bateman. Oh, what a play.
That was a 40-yarder from Lamar to Bateman. Thank you to Ravens Radio for that one. 30-23, but the score wasn't really that tight. Ravens really ran away with this game in the second half. Another awesome Derrick Henry game. Perloff, good morning. How are you?
What do you mean the score wasn't that tight? If Quentin Johnson could catch a third down pass, then it's 23-23. Possibly like that.
They were down by seven. Quentin Johnston drops a big third down pass
with about 60 yards in front of him.
And there's about 7.5 minutes left to go in that game. But on the flip side, the Chargers had no answer for the run game for Derrick Henry.
The
Ravens were able to go on some really long drives, including about a 7-minute drive from the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. And they were able to take the lead.
Well, I could explain it very simply.
Okay, go.
If I didn't know anything about the Ravens, didn't know anything about the Chargers, and I just dropped down from another plane to watch this game, why is that big man running over those little people? I mean, the Chargers looked like a JV team against Derrick Henry. Yeah. They had no prayer. It was bizarre. They started out pretty good. The Ravens are slow starting on offense.
Yep.
But then once Derrick Henry gets some steam going, oh, man, did no one want to tackle him. I mean, they try to tackle him, but they kind of sneak around and try and trip him. Nobody wanted to take him on directly, no. And I get it.
140 yards on 24 carries. And what's funny about it is you've got Derrick Henry as the bowling ball, and this is not new to anybody who's watching the Ravens. And then you got Justice Hill, who comes in as the speed guy, and he scored a 50-plus yard touchdown because he just couldn't be caught. The Ravens, I think this is the big thing about the Ravens. It's kind of like either you believe or you don't, because right now they look like Ravens, Lions, without a doubt, look like the two best teams in the NFL, right? And I know the Ravens are coming off a loss to the Steelers. I'm not forgetting that. But those AFC North matchups are always tough, and the Steelers kind of have their number. But overall body of work, wouldn't you say the Ravens and the Lions are the scariest right now?
That's a tough call. I can't follow you on that one, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to wimp out against the run against the Ravens. I think that's a way different
Chiefs
matchup.
Already beat the
Ravens.
The
Lions feel like more of a juggernaut to me than the Ravens. The Ravens, obviously, I think they're still averaging more yards per play than any team in NFL history. But I do think, obviously, the penalties and the back end problems, like if the Chargers had any receivers, there's so many opportunities against that those cornerbacks that, no, I don't feel like the Ravens are as far ahead of the Lions, as far ahead on their conference as the Lions are. No, the Ravens are right in that mix to me with Kansas City and Buffalo. I know you're nervous about your own team, Buffalo.
No, the Ravens killed the Bills. That's the thing. Yeah. And I know that the Chiefs beat the Ravens, but that was week two and it was a tight game. Or was that the opener? I'm sorry.
Well,
it was the opener.
Really thinking about last year's playoff game where Kansas City just out-toughed them.
Well, KC is going to get the Lifetime Achievement Award on all this stuff. You know, it's like if we're just taking the temperature, though, of who is actually playing the best. You're right to point out the penalties, 9 more penalties, over 100 penalty yards. That's been a consistent thing about the Ravens. it almost feels like the only team that could beat the Ravens are themselves because of those penalties, some of the self-inflicted wounds. But if you're looking at the roster, you're looking at all the ways they can beat you. Yeah, I don't trust the defense a lot either. I understand that. But, I mean, come on. Like, they've proven it, no?
That's a pretty big thing to say, I don't trust the defense. We're talking Super Bowl. I mean, if they pulled up a flag on a deep pass interference in the end zone, if they call that, the Chargers are right there. They get the ball at the one-yard line. I just feel like that's the strategy against the Ravens. Drop back and throw 50 yards downfield and wait for the cornerback or the safety to mug the receiver. Yeah. I think they're the most penalized team in the league.
A lot of offsetting penalties last night that bailed them out.
Yeah. Also, too, they are sort of designed to play ahead. So the Chargers had a lot of opportunities in the first half to jump on the lead. For some reason, the Ravens offense doesn't start until the second quarter.
But when they do, 4 for 4 on touchdown drives, it gets scary.
Chargers had to get a big lead where you can take away the Derrick Henry option a little bit. Once the Ravens get going downhill again, forget it. There's nothing you can do. Because Lamar is nearly perfect. Yeah. I mean, what's wrong? Does that guy make a mistake? Is there any mistakes left in Lamar Jackson? I didn't see one last night.
No, but he barely ran last night, too, which is also interesting. They did kind of contain him. I think he only had 16 rushing yards. I mean, nothing on the ground. And it didn't matter because they had Derrick Henry. They've got Justice Hill. And now they've got Flowers. And they've got Bateman. And they've got Mark Andrews, who converted a massive 4th-and-1. How about the stones on John Harbaugh going for it on 4th-and-1 at his own 16 against his brother? I mean, that's like something. Like, do you bring that up at Thanksgiving and at Christmas? Can you bring that moment up? Like, remember when I went for it on 4th-and-1 in my own territory like that? That play is going to live for a while in the Harbaugh household, I'm sure.
That's a great point. But it did feel like a risk because it's like I saw the Chargers defensive line and I saw the Ravens offensive line. Like, they, after that play, like the Ravens said, forget it. They're any short yards, we're just going for it. They're 3-for-3 on 4th down, kind of made the difference because all the scoring drives, they were way more physical up front. Again, I was like, how did the Chargers get so tiny on defense? I know they were missing a couple players and made a big impact, but they had no answer. The Chargers, it's funny though, they're up 10-0. They really need to score every drive. So that puts so much pressure on Justin Herbert. And he's good, but he's not Superman. I felt like he had to be perfect, and that's what the Ravens do to you. They make you have to be perfect on offense because you can't stop them.
Okay, there's also this thing that the Chargers have where, and a lot of teams have it, it's not just them, but I even noticed it last week against the Bengals where they start off like house on fire, and then Herbert kind of, the offense kind of disappears for 30, 40 minutes. What happened last night, what I felt like, after halftime, teams trade 10-yard drives, both ending in field goals. So now it's 17-16. Ravens go on a 14-play drive that eats up about 7 minutes of clock. They score a touchdown. Chargers go 3-and-out. Like, you can't do that. And then on the next drive, Ravens score another touchdown. Now you're looking at 30-16, and there's how much time was left at that point? Now we're looking at 7.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The pressure's really, really on because you're down 2 scores. It's that type of, like, you can't have those 3 and outs at those times. And that's on Justin Herbert. That's on Greg Roman. Johnston.
It's not. It's not on Greg Roman. It's not on Justin. That's on the receivers. They stink. They're terrible. They're awful. So that is it.
I'm sorry. How do you feel about the receivers?
Oh, my God. And we came in and we're like, everyone's like, they took Joe Ault at number 5 to make a statement that we're going to be a running team. Yeah, then you got left with Quentin Johnson and Jalen Reagor, and you're surprised when there's a million drops. How Jalen Rager's on a roster is amazing to me. So to me, the key moment was when J.K. Dobbins went out because he was really
Gus gashing. Edwards is not the same.
No, he's not the same. He was gashing the Ravens, who didn't have Roquan Smith. And once he went out, everything was on Herbert's shoulders. And that's not where the Chargers want to be. That feels like the Brandon Staley Chargers, where Justin Herbert has to throw it 50 times a game. And that is just definitely not their formula.
I'm not trying to do that thing to Justin Herbert because he's obviously a great talent. But this is, okay, so this is the drive after the Ravens score a touchdown on a 14-play drive. It's 23-16. And here's what happens. Gus Edwards is taken down for a loss of 7 yards. J.K. Dobbins not in the game, right?
Well, that was on Herbert. I think Gus Edwards should have just let it fly right over his head. That was a whole mess.
It was this backwards, lateral. It was a bad play. Okay, so now you're looking at 2nd and 17, and Herbert passes to Will Disley for 11 yards. So you got a lot of it back. So now you're looking at a 3rd and 6, okay? There's offsetting penalties that happen on a deep pass to Palmer.
By the way, insane. What the worst call of the night.
The holding call should never have happened.
The worst call of the night. So okay. I'm not sure where you're going here, because you've described like 10 things have already happened on this drive.
This is just what I'm saying. Now it's 3rd and 6 again, okay? And so offsetting penalties. So here we are. It's like nothing ever happened. We're back to 3rd and 6 at the Chargers' own 34. And this is where the Quentin Johnston drop happens. Now you're looking at 4th and 6. I just feel like on 3rd and 6, they had the perfect play. That should have been Johnston. I'm wondering if you have enough. I know it's at the 36, but time's a ticking. I don't know.
Their own 36.
Yeah, their own 36. Listen, John Harbaugh went for it on their own 16. It was a 4th and 1. I get
fourth
that.
Fourth and inches, yeah.
I get that, and the 2-minute warning was approaching. I don't know.
Honestly, it really wouldn't matter. There is no stopping Derrick Henry. That's the thing. The Ravens didn't score again when they got to 30, but they could have scored on any drive they wanted. They just sort of held the ball, tried to run the clock.
Yeah, definitely.
There was it wouldn't have mattered at that point. They had to be up by 14.
Don't you have to go for it there? No?
Nah.
All right.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm Monday morning quarterback in this thing, but then on the next drive that's when the Justice Hill 51-yard touchdown happens, and then it's 30-16. As I said, and the game's over.
Well, 4th and 6 is a must-pass situation, so all you have to do is take away McConkey. Then who's the pass go to? Maybe you take away Disley too. Who's he throwing to?
Well, but can the Ravens actually take these guys away? To your point, Quentin Johnston dropped that ball. There was 50 yards of field in front of him.
Well, you saw the Ravens were giving Johnston one-on-one coverage, and they must have shaded over to McConkey. Because otherwise, the ball kept going to Johnston because he was standing wide open, and he kept dropping the ball. So, no, I don't think they had many options there.
Yeah.
I mean, they are McConkey or bust on offense.
He's good, though.
He's good, but eventually you got to have more than one weapon. They are really in trouble because I think teams are going to watch that. If J.K. Dobbins is out, I think the Chargers could. They have some easy games ahead, and they've proven they can beat easy teams. But what is the old narrative on the Chargers? They can't stay healthy. And you saw it last night. They were missing Denzel Perriman, their linebacker. That was huge. They just did not look in the same class physically with the Ravens.
855-212-4227. All right, do you agree with me? Ravens and Lions look like the two best teams in the league. Listen, your Eagles look good. My Bills look good. I get that, but I got to respect the head-to-head. The Ravens smoked the Bills, so I really can't put them in their class right now. I don't know what that would mean if they meet again in January, but for right now, they get the nod. And for your Eagles, listen, they look really great, too. Back-to-back nights, SoFi Stadium. You get an awesome night from Saquon Barkley and then a great night from Derrick Henry. Running backs are back.
I think, for me, the AFC playoff picture is matchup-dependent. If Baltimore is unlucky enough to draw Pittsburgh in the playoffs, that's not good. I think they don't want to see the Chiefs. I do think they want to see your Bills.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm like, your Bills don't want to see the Chiefs. Come to think of it, nobody really wants to see the Chiefs. So I cannot say it's like the Lions who are going to roll over everyone in the NFC. I just don't agree with you that the Ravens are the team to beat in the AFC.
You came in, you had a thought on the MVP conversation.
Yeah. No, I don't have a vote in the AP MVP conversation.
Well,
I think that's 50 voters. That's tragedy. Because here's how I would vote. If I have a choice between Saquon Barkley of the Eagles, Josh Allen of the Bills, Lamar Jackson of the Ravens, and Derrick Henry of the Ravens, I'm voting yes. Splitting it four-way. They have ties at MVP. Remember Willie Stargell and Keith Hernandez and Steve McNair tied? Peyton Manning. Yeah, you can definitely have a tie at MVP, and this is a four-way tie. Because how do you split between Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry? Who's the MVP of the Ravens? You can't even answer that.
Well, they're going to cancel each other out. That's what's going to happen. But that's a cop-out.
I mean, Shador and Travis Hunter didn't cancel each other out. Everyone decided it's going to be Travis Hunter. So maybe...
Yeah, he had to do something that no one's done in years and years, ever. Basically be one of the best offensive players and one of the best defensive players. That's what it took to cancel out Shador.
Well, it's funny. Joel Klatt was upset. He's like, Shador should be number 2 in Heisman voting until they
Genty's
lost.
Genty's having a great season.
Yeah.
I guess, but the thing is, I don't think you can do this four-way tie. That's not how America works.
Okay? Well, I mean.
There's winners and losers.
Obviously, if I had a vote, I mean, don't make me bet against the all-time leading rusher who can hurdle backwards over men.
Homer.
He can fly. Right now, you're asking me on Tuesday morning after Saquon Barkley ran for 255 yards. I try not to do recency bias, but I'm only human, Maggie. How do you vote against Saquon Barkley today?
Well, you could vote for Derrick Henry today.
Yeah, Henry wasn't Saquon. He didn't run for 255. They were in the same stadium. I feel like Saquon outshined him yesterday.
Yeah, Derrick Henry only 140. What a slacker.
Can we say one thing about Lamar Jackson? MVP, no MVP, doesn't matter at all. Is there ever a point where he throws the ball into a dangerous situation? Like, there isn't a second when you fear an interception's coming.
That's true. When he throws it away, they're away.
Yeah, and when he throws it, it reminds me of peak Aaron Rodgers, where he sees the field so clearly that he's never going to throw it to the defender. He only has 3 picks on the year, I believe. I have to double check that. He is really clean right now.
Redraft, Lamar go number 1 overall.
Oh. Redraft.
Just redraft
the entire NFL?
Yep.
Oh, man. It's a holiday week, Maggie. What are you doing to us? Are you going
to
actually put that?
We're supposed to have fun.
We're all checking the traffic reports and the weather and buying pies. I'm going to have to put all that to the side and think about this now.
Buying pies, homemade.
Who buys a pie? You guys buy pies at your house? No.
I told you this yesterday. We special order from the French bakery around the corner.
Oh, well, that's a little bit different. That's a fancy, bougie place.
Yes. I mean, if it was up to me, I would bring a Trader Joe's pumpkin pie because those are quite delicious.
Sorry,
I don't know.
I didn't mean to shame people who buy pies. That's fine. Some people don't have time, you know, like us.
I don't know. You got to have somebody in the family that can make a pie.
Oh, my mom will make pies, but we want to bring something from a New York bakery. Okay. That's like
that's a little different. It's a specialty item.
But even so.
I shouldn't shame people. You buy store-bought. That's fine. It's cool. I'll tell you what, the people, like, my in-laws because they can't tell the difference.
Maggie, are you making a pie?
I am. I'm making a pumpkin pie. I'm in charge of apps and desserts.
Pumpkin pie, right. Because there's such a massive difference between a homemade and a store-bought pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
It's just a crust and pumpkin filling out of a can. What difference does it make?
I'm doing something different this year, and I'm going graham cracker crust on my pumpkin pie. I'm calling it audible.
Graham cracker crust. That is like
something I also bought.
First pie a 12-year-old knows how to make. Oh, yeah. You bought the graham cracker crust.
I did.
Oh,
technically,
I sent my husband to buy it. Do we have a sounder for fraud alert? You bought the graham cracker crust and you're bragging about your homemade pie?
I'm going to mix up the other stuff. I'll mix it up myself.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I can't even talk because I'm in charge of appetizers and desserts. We're going to my in-laws, my sister-in-laws. My mom's actually making the stuff.
Yeah, your mom's a professional chef and makes the most amazing things ever.
Well, that's the thing. I'm saving everyone at the party because there's no way I'm going to make it better. My mom's just really good at this stuff. She's literally a professional in the restaurant and catering business for 30 plus years. Like, everyone wants it to be Pam's stuff, not mine.
Yeah, remember those biscotti she made?
You got more coming.
Andrew Bogus talks about them, I don't know, about 3 times a week, all season long, not even in the holiday season. He's like, in May, he's like, oh, remember those biscotti?
I put the order in. You guys are sitting pretty.
Because they're not crunchy like you get at the store. They're soft biscotti.
I know.
Why doesn't everyone do them that way?
Well, biscotti, technically, you're supposed to bake 2 times. My mom just bakes them once.
It's like that crumble cookie thing.
Yeah.
You know those stores? Yeah, well... I haven't had your mom's biscotti, but crumble cookies are, man.
That's because you don't eat sweets.
Yeah, I know. Because once I start, but crumble cookies, I will eat.
Okay. Why? Because Tobias Harris owns them? 855-212-4227. Star professional basketball player owns into a cookie franchise and starts dropping it in every post-game interview that he does to try to goose up the sales.
I mean, that's smart, right?
Yeah.
Tobias Harris, the Pistons player?
Yeah.
You should hear my 12-year-old and 14-year-old talk about that franchise. And like
Sixers?
No, they don't care about
the crumble cookies.
The crumble cookie thing for teenagers is, that's a thing.
I passed by one of them the other day. The line's out the door. I don't get it.
Well, they're amazing. Because soft cookies are the best. A slightly undercooked chocolate chip cookie, I'm putting that at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, there's a salmonella risk.
Yeah, I don't care. I used to eat raw batter as a kid. Probably 3 times a week.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. You guys don't like the cookie. I would make my mom make chocolate chip cookies just so I could eat the batter. Then I wouldn't even eat the cookies.
Yeah, I feel you there.
Yeah, and brownie mix? Oh, my God.
So good. It's also living dangerously.
Brownie mix, though, doesn't really have eggs in it the way we would make it. Instant brownie mix, you're okay. Living dangerously. It was the 80s. You could anything goes.
Just smoking your Marlboros, eating raw eggs.
Yeah, what, do you want all these preservatives in the food, Maggie?
Well, I know. That's a big topic. 855-212-4227. Okay, what do we do there? A lot. Are the Ravens and the Lions the two best teams in the NFL? You're welcome to weigh in on that. Also, the MVP race, is it... Who are you going with?
Yeah, I told you.
You can't pick four people.
Nope.
Dude.
I can do whatever I want. Names on the show. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Allen. Also put up a poll. Is it acceptable to buy a pie at the store and bring it to your Thanksgiving dinner?
I mean, you could also just put a bunch of whipped cream or, you know, powdered sugar on it. Say you made it at home. It's your word against nobody's. Who's going to call you out?
Maggie,
Aunt Hilda?
What does she know?
She's practically blind.
I don't even want to hear from you. You bragging about your homemade pumpkin pie. You bought the crust.
Yeah, I definitely did.
So all you have to do is plop the can of pumpkin stuff in there.
Listen, they said homemade. It's coming from my home. Technically, 855-212-4227. All right, we got a lot to do. Perloff mentioned the weather. It's our second favorite topic on the show after food. We'll tell you what's going on, how it's going to impact the Thanksgiving Day game. See you guys on the phone as well if you want to weigh in on the MVP conversation. All that and more next.
Sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Boyd in Mississippi, learn more at Depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Okay, I have mixed emotions on this one, Maggie, because full disclosure, I was not in on Saquon Barkley coming to the Eagles because I have a lot of friends in my life who are Giants fans, and they all said he's going to get hurt and he will disappoint you because it feels great and then it goes away.
Full disclosure, you also didn't want your team to trade for A.J. Brown.
So. Yeah. I still don't want that. I didn't get that trade. You don't pay a wide receiver. Yes.
All right.
Okay. You wanted to fire your coach, and you are on the verge of the Super Bowl every year. You still think the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East somehow.
They've got the inside track now.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Saquon Barkley has been amazing. The debate has emerged. Can you give him the MVP if the O-line is really the MVP? Because when Lane Johnson, the right tackle, is not there, the Eagles lose pretty much every game. So the question is, if you take that O-line away, is Saquon is great? It's a chicken or the egg thing. Can you vote for him for MVP when you have the number one O-line? It's a great system debate. Do you have a thought on that?
I think you definitely can. But let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. Gary is in Vancouver. Gary, what do you think about Barkley as the MVP?
I kind of agree with your producer there. Or your partner there. That the I saw the game, and I've been watching. I'm a 66 year old guy that's been watching football. I've seen.
You've seen a lot of good football and bad football.
What's that?
I said you've seen a lot of good football and bad football. What do you think about Barkley?
Yeah, I've seen good football and bad football. I was a huge Dallas Cowboy fan when they had their huge offensive line, and Philadelphia's offensive line is just, it isn't very, Barkley is 6 foot and 225, and it isn't hard to go through a hole that you can put a pickup through.
Gary, I understand it, but here's the thing, and thank you for the phone call. Just because the offensive line is doing their job well doesn't mean Saquon Barkley is also not doing his job well. Like, they both have to work in tandem. No kidding. Do we not? We should talk about this every time we give the quarterback an MVP. What quarterback's winning MVP with a crap sieve offensive line? It doesn't happen. That's why offensive line is so important.
But it's different. Quarterback is less dependent on everyone around him than running back and wide receiver. One stat, Saquon has 616 rushing yards before contact, meaning no one even touched him. That is the most by any running back in the first 11 games of a season since 2000. He is, I mean, you saw the holes. There's just like, he's not getting touched. There's no one there.
Okay, and then when he's getting to the second level, what's he doing? He's showing the breakaway speed. You talked about the backwards hurdle. That didn't happen at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's doing a lot in the pass game.
No, he's fantastic, but it is the O-line is part of the story. And Saquon says it too. Every game, he's like, man, did you see my O-line crush it? So, and also, A.J. Brown's a huge part of the story. You mentioned him.
Yep.
You gotta account for him. The Eagles are undefeated with A.J. Brown this year, and they're not nearly as good when he's off the field. So, yeah, I mean, it is a team game.
That's so you're so making a case against Barkley.
Yeah, I could easily make the case. Because I'm a huge system guy. Listen, I know, I think the MVP is a stupid award anyway because it's the ultimate team sport. It's not the NBA where one guy can win the whole thing.
Sure.
You have 11 guys on both sides of the ball. You're right. A quarterback is dependent. I do think a quarterback is less dependent. Obviously, they touch the ball every play. They can make things happen. Running back is a very dependent position because when the defense wants to put everybody in the box, it's a lot harder for the running back to do anything.
Yeah, someone should have told that to the Chargers last night. It was a lot of light boxes when you got Derrick Henry running downhill. I don't know if it would have mattered.
The boxes weren't that light. They were just little players trying to tackle a big man.
Little players.
How about the play where Derrick Henry stiff-armed two guys in a row? That was ridiculous. I mean, yes, honestly, the Chargers are way too small up front. Watch him. He's going to bring in some beef in the offseason after that game last night.
855-212-4227. Okay, lots to do, including a weather report from Green Bay for Thanksgiving. We'll get to that in a minute. Andrew Bogish back with us on this Tuesday. Hey, Bogues.
Guys, good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Whoop. The Chargers hadn't allowed more than 20 points all season until the last 2 weeks. They gave up 27 to the Bengals, but still won. 2 weekends ago, they weren't so lucky last night.
On third and three, they give it to Justice Hill. Swooping left side, crosses midfield. He's to the 40. Charger 30. Leg race 20. Justice Hill 10. He's in. Touchdown, Ravens. Justice Hill goes 51 yards. And the Ravens extend their lead.
Jerry Sandusky, Ravens Radio. Baltimore scoring on its first three possessions of the second half to open a 30-16 lead. The Chargers did put 7 on the board in the last minute, but could not recover the onside kick. So they lose 30-23, ending their 4-game winning streak, as you just heard. Run defense, the biggest problem for Jim Harbaugh, with the Ravens putting 212 on the ground on the board.
They ran the ball. They ran the ball real well. We need better block destruction, you know, just across the board. But, you know, give them credit. They did a heck of a job.
Jim is now 0-3 against his big brother.
What was that word he just said? Block extraction? Is that what he just said?
Better block.
Well, regardless.
Yeah, no, I heard it originally, and now I can't remember what it was.
But it's interesting. So he's saying the guys could not get off any of the blocks. Yeah, I just felt like they were... They didn't. It looked like a JV run defense against our varsity run defense.
Man, I also get it. I told you guys this yesterday. I can't beat my older brother at anything. He's got the mental edge on me. And I don't know if this is the same because, you know, there's 53 guys on the team and not just me versus him. But it is tough to beat your older brother.
Well, yeah, I hear you. But, well, maybe it's because the Ravens are very much a better team, right? As your older brother got better skills.
It was a 2.5 point spread. Chargers are home, you know.
Better block destruction.
Block distraction.
Better block destruction.
Destruction, it looks like he's saying.
Better block destruction.
Oh, destruction, you're right.
Ooh, I hear distraction still.
I hear distraction too. And I think he messed up.
I don't know what that means either.
I think he meant extraction.
I think he means block destruction, like they got to destroy these blocks and it wasn't happening.
Better block destruction.
Honestly, like this is like football corporate speak, and I know all of us in our regular lives hate it when people are like, let's put a pin in that. Let's circle back. Just following up, you know? It's so annoying, and I think this is the football example. This is a sort of a local thing. We used to interview Brian Cashman all the time, the general manager of the Yankees, and he used to corporate speak. I'm like, you don't even know what you're saying right now. You're just on one. These are words that don't go together.
That guy probably wakes up in a suit, like, you know, Brian Cashman's Yankees. I'm not surprised by that.
My wife works from home, so I'll hear her on, like, conference calls and Zoom meetings, and the HR words that these people use, it's unbelievable.
It's just all CYA. What did we say? Nothing. Nothing got said in this meeting. Absolutely nothing.
Not even that. It's just like fancy words for simple things that, like, as if they get points for saying, like, silo. I mean, don't be in your silo. I'm like, leave, like, just, you're taking this way too seriously.
Also,
better block destruction.
I don't appreciate when people call it like, hey, team. It's like, no, we know teams. We're working. I like you guys. I'm looking out for everybody. But are we cover teams. Are we really a team in the way the Ravens are a team? No one here ever breaks a finger. No one's ever getting carted out of the building. Well, I guess EJ that one time.
Yes, I was carted off the field. In fact, we're closer to a team than probably the Jets and Giants.
All right, I stand corrected. Back to you, Bogus.
Nobody's got it better than the Ravens.
Daniel Jones cleared waivers yesterday afternoon, so he's now officially a free agent. And Jets interim coach Jeff Ulbrich said yesterday Aaron Rodgers will definitely start Sunday against Seattle, despite the rumors about injuries, unhappiness, shutting Rodgers down. Ulbrich saying the QB is healthier now than he has been earlier this season.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
No lead was safe on night one of the Maui Invitational. Number 12, North Carolina, down 56-35 to Dayton early second half, but they won 92-90. Thankfully for the Tar Heels, R.J. Davis in year 7 in college basketball, still around the score 30 to lead that comeback.
Stepanak High School.
Ranked Auburn was down 18 late first half against fifth-ranked Iowa State.
Broom has it, and Auburn can hold for the last shot.
And you want to put the ball in the hands of Baker Mazar. He's been the guy that's got you here.
Jones doesn't go the tip by Broom. 1.2 left, no timeouts for the Cyclones. The heave, and Auburn has won it.
They win it 83-81 on that Johnny Broom putback again after being down 18 just before halftime. Pro hoop, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 37 in the Thunder's 130-109 win in Sacramento. The Grizzlies smoked the Blazers, 123-98. Ja Morant, 22 points and 11 assists. They're missing 8 with a hip injury. And the Mavs won in Atlanta, 129-119, with Kyrie Irving scoring 22 of his 32 after halftime. Major League Baseball has adjusted the Rays' schedule to avoid summer storms in Tampa, since they'll be playing without a roof at the Yankees minor league complex this season. The Rays now play 19 of their first 22 games at home, 37 home games before May 28th, and then 64 of their last 108 on the road. That includes just 8 home games apiece in July and August.
Imagine if they had any fans. They'd be up in arms.
Well,
I mean, the fans they have probably are screwed, like, feel but awful right now.
That's a pretty good excuse to have a generational hurricane, though. Do you think the fans would really be mad?
No, but I mean...
Well, I mean, like, I'm not going to sit in thunderstorms now. Yeah. I'll take this. Get me there in April and May, not July and August.
Humidity's my enemy. No thanks. Yeah.
All right. I don't know. You're right. It is a good excuse. I get that.
I feel like they're just throwing away this season, though, right? Like that's the thing that would upset me. It's like, well, we're definitely not winning anything.
Well, maybe it rallies the team. I've never been to that Yankees facility. You said it's really nice.
It is nice, but it's definitely a minor league facility, but it is very nice.
I think this could be a cool story. You know, they all rally together in the minor league facilities. It's like Major League, the movie.
I just feel like any time outside of the Thunder or the Hornets playing in Oklahoma City, every time a team is displaced and they have to play somewhere else for a long period of time, it just always doesn't go well in terms of wins and losses.
Yeah, I mean, because they're human beings. You know, it's like you have to juggle your family life and all of that stuff. Yeah.
But that's why they're playing at this stadium in Tampa. Yeah. They are still technically home when they're home. They're just going to go long stretches of not being home. They're not like completely relocated.
Right. I think the other part is going to be, I mentioned about not having fans. I'm kind of joking around a little, but, you know, it's a smaller park.
Right.
It could create this really cool kind of atmosphere where it feels like this, you know, the fans are really intense. The problem is, like, you are at the Yankees house.
Also, right.
it's all Yankee stuff all everywhere. But anyway.
Also, a lot of Northeastern fans come down and root for their teams in Florida, right? Isn't that? I've never been to a game there, but it seems like it'd be a lot more Yankees fans than Rays fans.
That happens.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually kind of like the way they handled this. I think it was smart. Because we were talking about moving them to another city, right? What were our options? They were all
Orlando.
Weird. Yeah, Orlando. Or that's pretty far away.
Yeah, I know. But no, this is a good solution. It feels like it's going to be very haphazard.
Now I'm kind of hoping the Rays get off to a great start, because then the story of baseball, but a big storyline will be, can they overcome having to play basically a million road games second half of the season?
Yeah.
And I think that's a possibility.
Like, well, I mean, if this works, and maybe a team could think about playing in that cornfield they have set up for once a year.
The field of dreams.
Yeah, the field of dreams. Like, you know, first they go to a minor league stadium, then they go to a cornfield. Next, you're going to have a team playing in a sandlot. It's going to be an awesome trend in baseball.
Last thing for me, some hockey scores. The Hurricanes scored five times in the third period to beat the Stars 6-4, extending their home win streak to 8. The Lightning scored five times in the first period for an 8-2 rout of Colorado. Guys, back to you.
I have, based off what you were saying there, Bogus, I have the dream scenario for Daniel Jones. This would be the best possible outcome.
Former Giants quarterback got his release yesterday.
Yes. I want to save it. It's so good. It would be the most delicious irony in the history of the NFL.
Did you use delicious on purpose?
Nah, well, Maggie got me starting to think about Thanksgiving dessert, so yes. Mm.
There's nothing about Daniel Jones's game that's ever been described as delicious, but we'll get Perloff's take next.
Dave Gettleman will disagree.
Don't move.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. All right, I promised a delicious, because it's Thanksgiving and everything is about good tasting food, delicious, ironic outcome for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, do you want to do a quick recap on everything that's happened over the last 48 hours with the Giants? Because it feels like a little bit of a rock bottom here. Jones has to ask for his release. Then you got the team, both the wide receiver, who is a first-round pick, calling the team soft. Defensive lineman calling the team soft.
Right. Daniel Jones cleared waivers yesterday, so he's a free agent. Anybody could get him.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew gets hurt. So the Raiders are a lot of people's lead candidate for Daniel Jones. Aiden O'Connell, I guess, practiced yesterday. So the Raiders need a quarterback. They get Daniel Jones. They're 3-2-9 teams. So Jags, Giants, and the Raiders all vying for the number one pick. Jags don't really care because they have Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence comes back this week. Take them out of it. It is a head-to-head battle, the Giants and the Raiders, for the number one pick. What if it comes down to week 18 and the Giants need the Raiders to lose and the Raiders turn to Daniel Jones and on the key drive, Daniel Jones, as usual, misses the receiver, and that is why the Raiders have the worst record in the NFL, and the Giants get the number two pick and miss out on a quarterback because of Daniel Jones stinking for the Raiders. Wouldn't that just be so Giants? I love this scenario.
Wait, why are you the way that you are?
I was going to say, you wanted Bogus to stick around for this?
Yes.
Manny's already in here. He can't leave.
Everyone thinks that it's rock bottom watching Saquon kill it for the Eagles and Leonard Williams kill it for the Seahawks and Xavier McKinney dominate for the Green Bay Packers. What if Daniel Jones gets to another team and actually hurts the Giants by being so bad? That would just be so funny. I would just die.
I thought we may have killed Manny yesterday. It turns out we brought the body bag back in. We unzipped it and we just started going to town again. Bogus, you weren't here for this yesterday. You avoid some of the shrapnel, but now you're getting it. What do you think of Perloff's plan?
Yeah, I think Manny's question is a fair one. Like, who hurt you? I don't understand why.
Hurt people hurt people.
Why are these thoughts in your head? It was bad enough people thought he could become a Cowboy and play against the Giants on Thursday of this week. Well, I don't need him doing anything to hurt the Giants anymore.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, the Giants, why are you Giants fans? Why do you want to win football games? What are you, crazy?
No. I don't want to win football games. I don't want the specific thing that you just mentioned, Daniel Jones messing things up.
You want this team to focus on tanking so bad. I mean, this is
no more wins.
Honestly, and we're going to have Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl director, on later. I think there's one quarterback in the top five, maybe. I think you need to get Shador if you're the Giants. I don't know if he'll come there. But like if they screw this up, and it feels like they're going to, then that'd be the real problem this year. Not that they're bad.
Okay, so head in the hands, still Manny, this is like the silver lining. You could get Shador Sanders. You watch Colorado. He's good. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot more with Shador. You're getting Dion talking to a microphone about your team that could be a distraction or whatever. But he's definitely looks like the best quarterback in the class. I don't know if he's going to end up being the best quarterback, but wouldn't you rather have him than Quinn Ewers or Carson Beck, the turnover machine, or one of these other guys? Like, bogus, Manny, this is Perloff's giving you good stuff here once you get past the revenge fantasy weird thing about how Daniel Jones plays into it. But don't you want Shador?
Well, you're going to have to fight for it. Like, you can't win a game. Like, you can't win one more game.
I know. And don't forget, in New York, we went through this with the Jets in the Trevor Lawrence year where they were the worst team.
Out.
And then they missed out because
They won two stupid games.
Remember Greg Williams did all out blitz on a freaking Hail Mary. Henry Ruggs touchdown.
Honestly, I don't think the Giants have it in them to lose every game. I think they're so incompetent as a franchise, they'll blow this.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, I mean,
they can't even lose properly.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean,
it's hard to do, right? Because guys on the field are playing for something. A lot of guys are playing for, pride and wanting to stay in the league, put good stuff on tape, and sometimes incentives to reach different mile markers.
Also, the coaches don't want to be fired.
Yeah. So
is that too?
Yeah. I mean, they don't play a truly bad team like them again.
Well, Cowboys.
Yeah. But the Cowboys never count. Like, it's Giants, Cowboys, I don't care. I mean, they just won in Washington with Cooper Rush. So, like, and the Saints are probably pretty bad, too. But
I mean,
it's still
to be fair, that Washington Commanders game, or that Cowboys Commanders game, was the dumbest game ever played.
Right, but the Cowboys won. So they, I guess, were slightly less dumb when it mattered. I mean, I don't trust the Giants to not be the dumbest team on the field. And, like, Derek Carr at least still plays at the moment for the Saints.
What about Week 18 against an Eagles team that might be resting their starters? That's a danger spot.
Well, Giants haven't beat the Eagles in a century.
Right. The Giants haven't beat the Eagles since I was in diapers. Do you think the Giants will ever be as close as 3.5-point underdogs ever again this season in my life?
Well, they're four and a half.
That's what we're clamoring for?
Well, they're 4.5 against Dallas.
So they're less than a touchdown underdog?
That's scary. I mean, Vegas likes them against Dallas. 4.5 is nothing. I couldn't believe that. I think Dallas is worse than you might think, Manny. Also, Cooper Rush is kind of hurt. We were surprised by that headline yesterday.
Is that number going to be lower when they play the Saints?
At home, maybe.
Yeah, I'd watch out for that Philly game at the end.
Hold on. All dodging the question. Do you want Shador? I don't get the silence. He's better than Daniel Jones.
No, I know. Varsity
quarterback at Hirschel High School is better than Daniel Jones.
Right, I don't know how much of a headache that whole thing will be.
It's not going to... You get the total package.
I know. That's the problem.
I don't know if I want the package.
Well, you're seeing Malik Nabers now. But here's the thing. If Shador and Malik Nabers, maybe they kind of rein each other in a little bit.
No, Malik Nabers is not reining in Dion. Like, the Giants don't need Dion using his whatever Monday or Tuesday afternoon press conference in Colorado to be bashing Brian Daboll's play calling because Shador's getting messed up on Sunday.
It's a risk. It is a risk. But here's the thing. Shador doesn't seem to be... I guess he creates some headlines, but he's not really the distraction. You're right. It's Dion. But at the same time, Dion said that he's going to basically handpick where Shador and Travis Hunter go. So if he goes to the Giants, well, that's everybody signing off on this. So you really can't complain after that, right? I never saw Archie Manning come out and complain after they steered Eli to the Giants. Once you do that, what's done is done, right?
It also feels like if Shador is good, like, does it really matter? Like, the Giants are arguably the worst team in the NFL. So, okay, Shador brings a lot of flash and a lot of headlines or whatever. But if he's a really good player, I just feel like a lot of this other stuff you worry about later, right? Okay, if you're a good team and now maybe it's becoming a distraction, you worry about that later. Like, right now, you just got to get out of the darkness, so to speak. Like, you're so far away from being a relevant team. You just need talent. And, I mean, the kid clearly is one of the more talented kids in this draft.
What if you fall to three and both quarterbacks, there are only two tie first-round quarterbacks, Shador and Cam Ward. They're gone. How about Travis Hunter? I feel like the teams have no talent bringing Travis Hunter, and all of a sudden you've upgraded on both sides of the ball. That's my theory, that he's a depth chart filler.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he plays both sides, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I you know.
But is your talent a little bit late wasted if you don't have the quarterback in place?
Yes.
I mean, it is the NFL.
Yeah, no, they do need to draft a quarterback. It's a rough quarterback draft. You know, Kuiper's big board has Shador 1, Cam Ward 2, Jalen Milrow 3. And Milrow's not going in the top 5.
I'm wondering if Milrow's going back to college.
But also, we didn't have 6 quarterbacks in the first 11 picks last year. The world fell on its face when Michael Penix was picked. So, like, Jalen Milrow could absolutely go 3.
Well, yeah, in the Anthony Richardson model. Yeah, I don't see that. I just don't think he's big enough. Also, too, by the way, Shador, I want to see him measured at the combine. I've kept saying, like, he's a little bit older. He's not a Trevor Lawrence prospect. I think he's going to be 23 by the draft. He's good, but is he like a generational guy? I think it's just he's a supply and demand thing. He's the only real NFL quarterback out there.
Right, which is why I think if the Giants don't have that top 2 pick, then anything's on the table at 3. Because you can't, if you think Jalen Milrow can be your starter for 8 years and you take him at 3 and you go
can't
forward.
Take, the Giants can't take, Jalen Milrow's developmental.
The Giants can't not take a quarterback in this draft, though.
I know. But
that's kind of what got them into trouble the last
time, though.
They took Saquon Barkley in the 2018 draft when they could have had Josh Allen, they could have had Lamar Jackson, and they didn't do it. And then the next year, they end up reaching for Daniel Jones. Last year, could have taken a quarterback. Again, we don't know how J.J. McCarthy and Penix are going to be. Could have taken a quarterback. They take Malik Nabers. Now this year, they're forced to take a quarterback they could reach.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for the New York football Giants.
Yeah, thanks.
You're not reaching if you're the number one pick. That's not a reach. Unless you think Shador is just not worth it. But I think he is. I think he's going to be good.
I think he's marginal as a number one pick. I think he will be the number one overall pick, but I think it's closer to Kyler Murray than Andrew Luck, in my sense.
Okay, but sometimes we're too quick on the generational stuff anyway. And, you know, sometimes it's okay. If he's not known as this generation, he's going to have other expectations that come just with his dad being Deion. But.
Right, but I think it's more of the demand is so high for a quarterback that he's going number one, not because the supply is so great. Like last year, you had Caleb Williams and Drake May.
Yeah.
Like those guys were going top 5.
And Jaden.
The real question becomes if it's the Jaguars who are number one, which is very possible for Manny and Bo, because like how much are you willing to spend to
trade
get
into the
one?
Pick?
There's no way. Dude, there's no way. The Jaguars are so much more talented than the Giants. And
they lost by 40 points.
But Trevor Lawrence, that's Mac Jones. Wait till Trevor Lawrence comes back. There's no way. I will bet you anything. They're going to win some games.
Coming up, lots more to do, including an update on Brock Purdy's shoulder before a big game this weekend in Buffalo. My stomping ground. Maggie Perloff,